From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. The pink slips are still flying. A bruised U.S. economy appears likely to sputter into 2003, and that could mean even more layoffs and fewer new jobs. In this hour, the real people behind the unemployment statistics, laid-off workers tell the story of the endless job hunt, the mounting bills at home, the fear that life will never be the same. We begin in Washington with the latest numbers and perspective on the unemployment picture. Greg Ipp is economics reporter with the Wall Street Journal. Earlier, I asked for his assessment on the state of the job market.
Tom, there's not a heck of a lot going on right now. Essentially, the total level of employment has been roughly unchanged for the last year, even though we pulled out of recession by almost everybody's agreement around the end of 2001. You've got two things going on. The economy is growing. It's up about 3% in the last year. But companies whose profits have been really devastated are trying very hard to conduct those sales without having to hire anybody. That translates into very high productivity, which in the long run is good for wages and it's good for profits. But it's kind of bad news in the short run because it means that there isn't as much need for new workers as there might otherwise have been.
And how does unemployment look this time compared with previous recessions, compared with the last one in the early 90s? Or is it the same people who are out of work, or has it shifted?
The unemployment rate at around just a little bit under 6% is actually quite low for coming out of a recession. It was a lot higher in the last recession, certainly higher in the ones before that. So that's positive news for what it's worth. The profile of the unemployed is more or less similar to what you've seen in prior recessions. It's a common pattern that people who don't have as many skills, don't have as much education, they tend to be the hardest hit. Those who don't have a high school diploma, for example, their unemployment rate's gone up to around 9% from less than 8% a year ago. Whereas if you have a college degree, you're looking at an unemployment rate of only about 3% today. So that's a very well-established pattern. However, there was a bit more of an impact on the skilled and some white-collar people this time around, and that reflects, of course, the meltdown in the tech sector. So you've heard of, you know, dot-com investment bankers and some people who are, for example, skilled web designers having a hard time. But I suspect those will also be the ones who have the easiest time finding a new job.
Well, is that borne out in figures? In some of the high-tech corridors, we're hearing a lot of moaning and wailing right now, approaching the holidays and people out of work.
Well, the job picture, Tom, actually has started to improve in the last month, and it's probably too early to say specifically where it's improving and why. But, for example, we do know that the number of people who are making their first claim for unemployment insurance benefits is going down. In fact, last week it hit the lowest level in 21 months, the lowest since just before the recession began.
That's good news.
So tomorrow morning, Friday, the Labor Department will report what payrolls did in the month of November. It may not be really great, but it's probably not going to be down very much. In fact, there's a lot of signs that suggest things are about to begin a steady improvement.
How long is it taking to find a job these days, Greg? What's the range?
It's definitely taking longer. The average person who's unemployed now has been unemployed for 17 and a half weeks. A year ago, that was only 13 weeks. Again, this is very typical, is that when the economy is very soft, people who have jobs hold on to them longer, and companies are reluctant to hire. So those who are unfortunate enough to be fired first have a very hard time getting new work.
And who has the hardest time finding work these days? Can you tell from the numbers?
Tom, I would say that this recession, I think, has been a little bit harder than average on the white-collar workforce than in the past. I mean, what areas have been really hard hit? Finance, because we all know what's happened in the stock market, and technology, because we all know what's happened to technology companies. And those are industries that employ a lot of high-paid engineers and bankers. So those people who've been used to pretty good times, high salaries, and a lot of job security, they're facing a much tougher environment today than they typically have.
Are the people who are going back to work, who are finding new jobs, going back at the same pay levels as the work they left behind?
Almost certainly not, Tom. In fact, you hear a lot about downward mobility and pay. And that's quite natural. Corporations, we know, are having very little ability to raise prices, and they're trying to conserve on costs every way possible. So it's common that you'll find that they're cutting jobs, and the people that they're hiring back are often being hired at lower levels. For example, one of the major trends in the labor force in the last decade or two has been a big increase in the number of employees who are temporary employees, often hired from temporary staffing outfits. And the benefit for the employer, of course, is that these are people that they can hire and fire with just a few days' notice, and they don't have to pay them all the benefits that they have to pay to their permanent workforce. In tough times like this, you have a lot of people used to full-time work taking these temporary jobs because it's the only thing available.
So it could be that some of the people going back to work are going back for seasonal, even holiday jobs that could disappear after the holiday.
That's right, Tom. I mean, if your unemployment insurance benefits are about to run out, which we know they are, then, I mean, wouldn't you rather take a job, selling clothes in a Macy's than nothing at all.
Congress adjourned without acting on an extension for unemployment benefits. What does that mean? When do those benefits now run out?
Unfortunately, you're right, Tom. Congress left town last week without being able to agree on how they should extend benefits for those who've been unemployed for a very long time. That means that about a million people are going to see their benefits run out 3 days after Christmas. And since Congress doesn't reconvene until January 3rd at the earliest, they're probably looking at least a few weeks without that valuable bridging for their family finances.
So even the cash that pays for the groceries may not be there.
That's right. It's really unfortunate because even Alan Greenspan, who's typically not been in favor of increasing unemployment benefits, says that at times like this, those who are unemployed really can't find a job. It's not a case of them being too picky or simply not wanting to work. And if you give those people a little bit of extra money in times like this, that money gets spent. It provides a very direct stimulus to the economy.
Greg Ipp, thanks for joining us.
Tom, always a pleasure.
Greg Ipp is economics reporter with the Wall Street Journal. He spoke to us earlier from Washington. The downturn has affected every sector of the economy, and this time around, white-collar workers are taking the full hit of unemployment along with everybody else. People who thought the pink slip meant a well-earned sabbatical are now many months into a brutal job search with no one hiring. The holidays are here, but without a job, the merriment is not. It's a cold, tough world out there. Homes are on the line, and marriages, and dreams. Have you been laid off? How does the job market look to you? Is your family's ship scraping bottom yet? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me tonight in the studio are two intrepid warriors of the job hunt, 2002 style. Brian Casey is a laid-off software marketing manager and has been out of work for 13 months. Vivian Pudziadlo was working as a senior program manager and has been out of work since February 2001. Good evening and welcome, Vivian and Brian.
Thank you.
John, thank you for having us here.
Thanks to both of you for being here. Joining us tonight from East Brunswick, New Jersey, is Ed Krugman. He lost his job as Director of International Information Technology in May 2001. Good evening and welcome from New Jersey, Ed Krugman.
Good evening and welcome, and thank you.
Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
We have asked all of you in tonight to sit around as if around the proverbial kitchen table and share what this experience is, has been. We know that is an experience in which none of you are alone. Greg Ipp was just telling us from the Wall Street Journal how many people are now out of work, how hard it is to find a job these days, and how that period of unemployment can stretch out far beyond what anybody ever expected. Brian Casey, jump in with us here. You've been out of work for 13 months. You were a software marketing manager. Did you ever expect it would take this long for you to get back on the working beam?
No, I really didn't. In technology, unemployment can be a way of life. Mm. This is the first time I've been without a job. I've never been laid off, and I haven't had any time between jobs. And we've had past recessions where there have been massive layoffs at larger companies. But this one's different. It's not a nationwide unemployment problem as much as it's particularly targeted at the technology areas. You know, people generally talk about something being a mile wide and an inch deep. Mm-hmm. This is more about a mile wide and very, very deep in the technology sector.
And especially in a sector that had known an enormous boom in the 90s where something like a trough in employment seemed the last thing on anyone's mind.
In the 90s, we were crying out for more workers. People were getting tremendous bonuses to refer someone. The company I worked for paid $3,000 if we could refer someone that was hired.
Just for a referral to bring them in.
If someone was hired and someone stayed there for 6 months. People were running advertisements, seeking word of mouth. Managers were saying to employees, please bring us more names for human resources to recruit. And a very short period of time, the economy turned on a dime. And unfortunately, it's the other way around now.
That's all gone now. Vivian Pudziadlo, take us back to when your job first went away. What was your first response? What were your expectations at the beginning?
At the beginning, it came as quite a shock. Really, the bubble had burst. Things had been going great in the 90s, mm-hmm. Advancing in my position and doing great things. And all of a sudden, it happened quickly.
This was February 2001 in your case.
February 2001. It was the beginning of the company that I worked at, the many layoffs that have occurred at that company. And, you know, still things were not too bad at other companies that time, so I thought wouldn't take that long to get back in and get another position. Interviewed, good interviews, but the company's beginning to become more cautious because there were additional layoffs in the May 2001 time frame. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as the summer progressed, things just started getting much worse, and companies were still interviewing but becoming more cautious, waiting to see what was going to happen because the bubble had burst.
When it first hit after the boom 90s, it was a shock. It's no hold bars tonight. How bad was it right then when you first got news that, gosh, I'm going to be part of this wave of layoffs? I mean, did you go home and just, you know, bury your head in the pillow? Did you cry? Did you scream? Did you pound on the door?
I cried a lot. It came as a shock. I'd been at the company almost 5 years, mm-hmm. thought I was a great worker, and, mm-hmm. you know, why me?
Yeah, why me? What's wrong with me?
And we'll go through all the emotions that you occur when someone dies, the anger, you know, the why me, and working through those emotions took time. And even now it's, you know, I realize it's not me, but some of those emotions, you know, still come back of, you know, even after this long period of time.
The emotional freight of long-term unemployment can be brutal. We know that. We've all read about it. We all have relatives or personal experience with it. Ed Krugman, the time is stretching out for you as well. It was May 2001 that your job went away.
Yes, my job went away. Excuse me.
Yes, please. Tell us about what happened.
My job went away because of an acquisition. I worked for approximately $750 million consumer products pharmaceutical company in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
They were acquired by a British firm, and I was director of international IS, and they have a different way of doing it, so my job was eliminated. I had perhaps 6 to 8 months head start because we knew the acquisition was going to occur.
Mm-hmm.
We knew it was going to go through the approval process. So, you know, I put out feelers, and I wouldn't say I put out heavy feelers. It was just light feelers. And I said, geez, you know, they're giving me a severance package. They're giving me even a stay bonus. They're treating me very well.
Mm-hmm.
I was only there about 2.5 years. And I said, you know, it's not going to take that long.
This won't be so bad.
I thought it wouldn't be bad. And then I immediately got a 3-month consulting assignment. I said, well, geez, I'll be able to leverage that. Well, that completed. It was an extremely successful assignment. And then I was out for another 7.5 months. Then I had another consulting assignment. Again, that went extremely well.
And still not a job. Ed Krugman, if I understand correctly, by September of this year, you, the not that long ago director of international information technology for a major corporation, were standing outside Grand Central Station Terminal in New York wearing a sandwich board.
Absolutely.
Pleading with prospective employers to look at your resume on the Internet.
Exactly. When we were listening to Greg's report earlier,
mm-hmm.
He said two things that hit home. Pounding the pavement. We were actually on the streets of Manhattan pounding the pavement with sandwich boards, handing out flyers, begging people to not necessarily give us jobs, but to look at the website. There were 43 outstanding resumes on that website, so we just, please look. You know, my name is Ed. Please look, and if you need somebody in IT, give me a call.
So you weren't too proud to put on that sandwich board as the time stretched out and go out there and say, take a look at this, please. I'm wearing a sandwich board. I really mean it. But it hasn't happened yet. And as I understand, Ed, you're now working at Macy's part-time, full-time, to make
full-time,
ends meet.
Just exactly doing what Greg had said. I'm selling men's clothing and shoes at Macy's in New Jersey. And, I mean, it's an interesting job. I love it. It's something very different, but I would like to get back into IT.
I'm sure you would.
And, again, this was a considerable cut in pay. I mean, it's like 10% of what I used to make.
Brian Casey, as you listen to Ed Krugman's story, do you sympathize with the extremes to which he's gone? Do you understand what has driven him to be willing to go and work the floor at Macy's to make ends meet until he can pull his career back on track?
In times like this, you do what you have to do. I think I was a little more philosophical than maybe some of the other people around here. I've been in technology for 20 years, and I don't know many people who haven't been laid off at one time or another. And I haven't been before. And I think deep down I felt perhaps it's my turn. So I was a lot more philosophical about it.
Are you still philosophical 13 months later?
You have to be. We've seen this before. The technology business is cyclical. And there are peaks and there are valleys. And right now we're in a valley. And we'll come back. The recession that we had between 88 and 93 was much more severe. And we know this one won't last 5 years.
Brian Casey, you're keeping your cool, and we admire you for that, but we know it cannot be easy. Listeners, we're talking about crunch time for America's unemployed. Have you lost a job? Is your spouse, brother, sister, parent out of work? How long has it been? How does it feel? Are you hanging in there? Are you hitting bottom? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about crunch time for America's unemployed. There are millions of them. Have you had to hit the pavement looking for work in this economy? What did you find out there? Did you find a job? Has unemployment cut into your life, your savings, your marriage, your dreams? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I am joined by three veterans of the tough job hunt out there right now. Brian Casey, laid off 13 months ago. Vivian Pazialdo, laid off in February 2001. Ed Krugman, laid off in May 2001. Do the math. That's a long time. And it's not that they've just been sitting back waiting for a job. These are people who have aggressively looked for jobs. Brian, you were saying that the job hunt today is not what anybody expected it would be, is not what people have experience with.
It's very different these days. When you go on a job interview, you expect to either get a job or not. And believe it or not, there's a third option that's happening more than the others. It's interviewing for a job and then finding out that the job opening has been canceled. The company, instead of hiring people, has decided to lay off a whole bunch of folks. And what's happened to me several times was the person I interviewed with, the hiring manager, was laid off himself very shortly.
So the target itself goes away even as you reach for it.
Exactly. And it's, on one hand, it's good for morale. I haven't been turned down for that many jobs. But
Or if you were, you didn't want that job anyway because, look, it went poof.
Yeah, that would be pretty discouraging to get a new job and to be laid off right away, which has happened to many of my peers. We've had people who have been laid off after a hard search, have found a job, and then in 2 months the company's gone out of business, they closed that division, they downsized or whatever, and they've been back on the street again. That's going to be particularly disheartening.
Vivian, how has your approach to the job hunt changed over these months?
I'm getting in touch with people differently. Networking in the news now is saying that the networking has been really been drilled to death, that people that currently have jobs don't want to be contacted, that networking is
the
not...
The networking is tapped out, in other
tapped
words.
Tapped out.
Nobody wants 16 more emails from people who need jobs. They've already got 160 emails that they've received in the last 6 months.
Correct. So my strategy has changed. It's not in contacting people that have jobs. It's in contacting people that share a common interest, not job-related, and trying to work that way into getting a contact that will ultimately get me a contact into a company.
Now, explain that. What do you mean, people with a common interest?
As a survival strategy, I'm going to start my own company, completely different from high tech. It's going to be a regional food specialty, which I'll be selling on the web. So as part of that, I need to go out and make contacts. But while I'm making contacts for that business, I hope to let them know that I am unemployed, looking for a job back in high tech, and be able to maybe gain contacts that way. Because you never know where your next contact from.
Where it's going to come from. So you have to be brave enough to simultaneously stay on the hunt, keep your antenna out and more for a high tech job, and at the same time start a new company to make ends meet,
yes,
to stay alive.
Yes.
Ed Krugman, at this point, how are you managing? You've got on one hand the job that puts food on the table, but not the kind of food you were used to maybe, and yet that's not where you want to stay. How do you juggle those? Do you work at night so you can go interview during the day? How's it work?
Well, the schedule with Macy's is almost a split shift. Every day, every week, we'll have a different schedule. One day I may work 9 to 5. The next day I may work, 1 to 10. So it's difficult for me to schedule too far in advance.
Mm-hmm.
But I still, the days that I'm off or the mornings that I'm off, I still do my searches either on the web, going through the various web boards, or I'll still make my networking calls. I'm still trying to go through the networking approach. I have found some of the similar reaction that Vivian found, in that maybe your networking calls will not be returned. Mm-hmm. These people are getting a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, and they don't want to be in a position to tell you they don't have anything or they don't know anybody for you to call. When you make a networking call, it's not necessarily to say, give me a job. It's to...
What have you heard? What do you know?
Yeah, what do you know? Could you give me a suggestion who to call? Blah, 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 all those type of things.
Ed, you went back to work, and presumably there was a financial reason for doing that. I mean, long-term unemployment can just wreak havoc on personal finances. How bad did it get? How bad can it get?
it can get it's pretty devastating if you think about it. Now, I still have some savings, but I haven't put anything into my retirement fund in 2 years. Now, I'm 58, and my retirement fund as it is not that large. And because of the stock market problems, it's probably depleted about 40%. So there's a double whammy. I'm taking out of my savings, which would have gone for retirement. Mm-hmm. I'm not replenishing it. And I'm getting older. I'm getting closer to that mandatory retirement. Well, I know we all have a mandatory retirement age, but the...
Yeah, in fact, it seems to be rising by the minute.
It does. It is rising by the minute. So I say, I want to stop taking out from savings, so let me at least get some money to pay part of the mortgage, to put some food on the table.
How is age factored in for you at 58, Ed? You've got a ton of experience, but you're no kid. How does it figure into your hunt for a fresh start, for a new job?
I think it does enter in. I had an interview with another consumer products company in New Jersey. The CFO looked me eye to eye, and he said, "What year did you start working?" And we all know that's an illegal question, but what are you going to do in the middle of an interview? You really can't say, "I don't have to answer that." Mm-hmm. If you do answer it, if you don't answer, the interview's over. Mm-hmm. So obviously, I think he was looking for somebody younger. The other thing, my resume has all of my positions back to 1966. Mm-hmm. And the reason I did that, I was advised by several recruiters, several employment people, that you have to disclose everything. You don't want to have any gaps in your resume. So I said, fine. And I have some real good experience back in the 60s and 70s, so I put that on there. And it's age, and also when you've been working 35 years, especially when you get into management positions, you're making a fairly good salary.
Sure.
So I think they're afraid to offer me something less. I may be willing to consider it. Now, 40% less than what I was making is better than I'm making now.
But there's that delicate protocol. Do they even have the nerve to offer you something 40% less than they can see you were making before?
Right. And will you say, will you be interested? Somebody, another pharmaceutical company called me up last year. They said, "Geez, we saw your resume on Monster. We think you're an ideal candidate. We'd like you to come in." After I had the interviews, and I thought the interviews went extremely well, I asked the hiring manager at the end, I said, "Did I answer all your questions? Am I still a good fit?" He said, "Yes." The recruiter, it was an internal recruiter, called me back, and he said, "They're questioning why you were willing to take a position two levels below." And I said, "You called me."
But there's the catch-22, even when they called you.
Right.
Ed, Brian, Vivian, please stand by. I've never seen more callers on the line than we have at this moment. Listeners, what are you telling your kids, your spouse, yourself about what long-term unemployment means? We're at 1-800-423-8255. David's calling. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hi. Next week will mark 24 months, 2 years that I've been out of work.
That's a long time, David.
And since I was the business owner, I'm collecting no unemployment. And since it was a startup business, I didn't pay myself a salary while I paid my staff. So it's been 3 years since I've collected a paycheck.
How do you possibly survive 3 years away from a paycheck?
It was difficult. Last year, we were forced to file bankruptcy. Our savings, obviously, are totally wiped out. Before I started my business, I was earning a six-figure income. And I've gradually lowered my sights to where I've attempted to get jobs that would pay less than a third of what I earned before, and I'm still getting nowhere. And I'm caught in a catch-22 where I can't get those entry-level jobs because people assume that I'm just going to use them as a holding pattern while I find a more suitable job.
David, you've cut down, clearly your savings, your financial profile has been cut way, way, way down.
Oh, we're wiped out. Our savings for children's college, everything. We took all the equity out of the house in an attempt to keep the business afloat and take care of employees. But
I want to ask you, David, what about your view of life itself? Has it changed? Have your expectations of what the shape of your life will be changed in those 2-3 years?
Well, it has. I've been an entrepreneur on and off for 20 years, and I've built successful companies and sold one, and I've always bounced back from adversity. And I have to say that things have changed a little bit. of course, it doesn't help that my business was shut down because of an employee who tried to steal our intellectual property. And
ouch, that hurts, and it gets complicated.
So, you know, it's difficult. This is the first time in my life where I've actually gotten resumes back in the mail unopened with a stamp outside the envelope saying not hiring. In other words,
just forget about it.
Taking your resume and filing it for future reference.
David, that's a lot of incredible detail. We wish you luck and we thank you for your call. Brian Casey, you've talked about cycles, but this is rough. So just stamping it, not hiring, and turning it right around, return to sender?
I was going to say it sounds like an Elvis song rather than the experiences I've had. Also, most things are done electronically these days. I mean, you send out something to the post office every once in a while, but there aren't too many companies that wouldn't rather have something electronically sent by email.
But you don't go bankrupt electronically. You don't lose everything. You've got your savings electronically. These are real flesh and blood events in people's lives.
3 years is a long time.
Do you think that this cycle is different in any respect? Yes, you're a vet. You've been around the track. You've seen what happens in the high-tech world. But is this cycle different?
It's much sharper, and it came upon us much quicker. And again, it's targeting a few industries rather than broadly across. The major unemployment issue, I think, of the last quarter century was the decline of the major industrial companies, the Rust Belt, so forth, when automotive, heavy metal, steel, and so forth, and all those industries caused a lot of unemployment, the ripple effect. And the unemployment rate nationwide was much, much higher. The unemployment rate nationwide now isn't that high.
But the portion of white-collar workers in that unemployment
is much higher.
Definitely higher.
It's much higher. People with greater expenses and people with tremendous backgrounds. We're talking people that I run into that are unemployed and through my various networking activities. We're talking about people with multiple degrees, people with substantial background and tremendous expertise both in technology and business. And it's surprising they don't find work, but you try and believe it's cyclical.
Vivian, in your own experience and the experience of friends and colleagues who are now out of work that you've talked with, how do people deal psychologically with this sort of floors crashing beneath them? You know, where there seems to be no bottom. I mean, we've heard it here. We heard from our caller David just now. I mean, it's everything. Savings gone. Bankruptcy, yes. House on the line, God knows. I can only imagine it must be. How do people deal with that psychologically?
It's very numbing, and I think people need to join networking groups. Brian and I belong to a local networking group, and I found that to be very helpful. You need to be out with other people that are in the same situation, share ideas, and share experiences.
So at least their networking still helps. What are you hearing in that network about the extremes to which people are being pushed?
They're finding low-level paying jobs. They're, you know, financing or refinancing their homes. They're basically mortgaging everything they have to be able to survive. I'm very lucky that being a woman, my husband's still working full-time.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of my, you know, peers and friends that are male, you know, maybe their wives weren't working, so they're in a much worse situation than I am. So I'm grateful that of my situation that I'm not at the worst of what it can be.
Ed Krugman, what about that, the psychological side, the emotional side of this challenge?
Well, I have to agree with some of the things that Vivian said in that from my support, I find the network groups, a support group. In effect, not only do we share leads, but we try to build each other up to try to get over the psychological problem.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I do is when I make my networking calls, you know, again, that will build me up, and if I didn't do that, I'm sure I might have suffered a nervous breakdown. It is a tremendous psychological hit, and I have to agree with what Brian said, though. I think this is cyclical, but I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know how long it's going to be till we see hiring managers, you know, the mid-level IT professionals.
And when you get outside that envelope of employment in America, it's a cold, cold world out there. Kevin's calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Kevin. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Thanks
for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I started a small company in '99. I left a six-figure job to start my business, and I grew to about five by the end of '99, beginning of 2000.
Mm-hmm.
By the middle of 2001, my employees were gone, and three-fourths of my customers stopped paying their bills.
So the business went away, and are you now among those who would call themselves unemployed, Kevin?
No, I'm self-employed. I have other talents. I've been in the IT world for about 20 years or so, but I have other carpentry skills, so I've moved on to remodeling homes for folks now. So
it must feel good to have that hammer in your back pocket. But does it feel like a step down, or are you happy to have just changed fields, changed expectations, moved on, and said goodbye to all that?
Well, no, I'd love to get back into the IT field. I kind of got burnt out on it for a little while because I moved to another state. I moved to Minnesota for a while, and I sent resumes to every placement company and consulting company in the phone book and did not get a single reply from any one of them.
Zero replies. That is a tough world. Kevin, thank you for your call and your story. Shay is calling. Welcome, Shay. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Good to have you.
I was an employee of the Lynn Community Charter School, and I'm kind of, I guess I'm speaking for just regular, average people in the community.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very close-knit community. There are people from all walks of life. And
what happened, Shay?
There was some kind of political something or other.
So you lost your job.
Right. I was laid off along with every other employee of the school, which left a huge dent in our economy, you know.
Do you have a spouse to help out in this case?
Yes, I do. He was also laid off. He's a youth worker. He lost his job and just a few months ago was able to find another job. But it did leave a tremendous hole, you know. And I, like I said, I'm speaking for the people, just average community people. Unemployment is such a difficult issue, and my sympathies go out to all of the other callers that you have. I have been unemployed for a relatively short amount of time, about 21 weeks or so.
Have you started the job search, Shay?
Oh, yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah, not too good. Every day, you know, I'm online. I've got resumes posted everywhere. I am a professional. You know, I send out, on average, I guess, about 100 resumes a week. Very little response from... I'm in the North Shore, just north of Boston,
mm-hmm.
you know, all over, even as far as Western Massachusetts, just with absolutely no luck.
It's still just not coming in, Shay. It sounds tough there, too. And hundreds of resumes, that's a lot. Even in 21 weeks, that's a lot. Thank you for your call. Vivian, you're listening to these stories, and you hear it again and again. People take the hit. They begin to send out those resumes, but the job just isn't coming back from the other side.
Yes, this is my fourth layoff, and I never expected to be out this long. This is serious, and I think Congress really needs to take a look that they should have extended our employment benefits. There are so many people that are in dire need of these unemployment benefits.
It sounds like kind of a technical thing. 3 days after Christmas, it runs out, but people are depending on this for food, for rent?
Right. My unemployment, I was qualified for the two extensions, and they ran out quite a few months ago now. But there are other people, you know, where both parents are out of work, and, you know, these benefits, the extensions would have helped them tremendously. And Congress really isn't focusing, you know, you hear that the unemployment claims are decreasing, but, you know, that's not the true picture.
We're talking tonight about crunch time for America's unemployed. What does it take to snag a job today? Do you have to drop your expectations? And is Washington doing enough to bring back the economy? Can Washington make a difference? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about unemployment, about crunch time for America's unemployed. The holidays are upon us. Many among us do not have jobs, and many of those who do not have jobs have not had jobs for a long time. Have you had to hit the pavement looking for work in this economy, and what did you find out there? Did you find a job? Has unemployment cut into your life, your savings, your marriage, your dreams? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. I've been talking with Brian Casey, Vivian Pudziadlo, and Ed Krugman. They've all been out of work for 13 months and up. I'm joined now by James Moody. 24 hours ago, James was set to join our roundtable as an unemployed member of the American Unemployed. In that 24 hours, he's found a job in San Diego. He's not going to have to sell the house. Good evening and welcome, James Moody.
Good evening.
And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
You're the beam of sunshine in this conversation. How long had it been? How did it finally happen, James?
Well, it was 8 months, almost to the day, 8 months. I was laid off from a very small software development firm. A new senior management team had come in and decided right away that I was too senior for the position that I was filling, and they didn't feel that they had a position at the company with somebody with my skills and experience, and they laid me off.
And we know that only 24 hours ago you were still in that status. How bad was it getting?
Well, I'd pretty much gone through all of my reserves and was working on my credit line, and the house was up for sale. Just to try to keep going.
James, did your wife understand that? Did your children understand it? Did your in-laws understand it?
Well, they were certainly wished I was working. They understood that I was doing everything I could to try to find a job. It just wasn't happening. I wasn't getting just like everybody else that you've been hearing. I wasn't getting any callbacks. I wasn't getting any feedback from anyone. But this job that I got is a true testament to networking. Absolutely.
Tell us about it, because it's a happy thing to hear.
It is. The company that I'm latched onto is located in San Diego.
So you're moving across the country for this job.
I'm going to be moving across the country. It's the fourth time I've done that in my career.
Transcontinental man.
Yes. But this company is private labeling the software from the company I left.
So it's related to your history. This is not entirely out of the blue. Your experience was directly responsible.
Yes, it was. In fact, they were, had started that effort when I was still there. I was part of the team that did the private labeling, but, they were ramping the product up, and it took them, 8 months to get the product to where they needed to start bringing people on board, and they were pretty desperate for a technical resource on the West Coast, and they sent me out there, flew me out there for interviews. They said, okay, well, there's no relocation package for this position. And at this point, I said, that's fine with me.
I hardly have a house anyway. James, I know that Brian and Vivian. I want to let you talk with them because I think you are part of the same networking group. Brian, Vivian, here's a friend who's got a job.
Yeah.
We have very mixed feelings. We're sorry to lose Jim from this state of Massachusetts, but we're glad that he's got a job in San Diego. He's a very, very talented guy and a fine individual. And congratulations, Jim.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's really wild. I had the interview, and I got back. I flew all the way back, and there was a voicemail waiting for me when I landed. With an offer for a position, and they threw in relocation. So it's a good thing.
It's getting better all the time. James, when you talk to the folks you've networked with, are the congratulations fully sincere, or are they, oh, my God, he's got a job and I still don't, I can't bear it?
No, I think they're, everyone I've talked to that's in my situation has been it's been a sincere congratulations, and we're happy for you. And that would be the way I would act if anybody else that I knew got a job.
Actually, Jim, I just want to borrow money from you now.
That's right.
James Moody, they say if an experience doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. Do you feel that about that long stretch of unemployment, or would you much rather have skipped it entirely?
Oh, of course, I'd much rather have skipped it entirely. I'm in the hole, tens of thousands of dollars, and I'm going to have to recover that. And we're going to have to sell the house to move across country. That's a different reason now than before.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was within days and weeks of making a decision. If this hadn't come through, I would have been going a totally different direction and looking to get out of high tech or get out of Massachusetts. As it turns out, I'm leaving Massachusetts. But I was very close to leaving the technology field altogether.
What were you thinking of doing, James?
I was going to do we're pretty sure we're going to do a franchise. We were going to do a learning center franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is in the whatever it takes category.
In whatever it takes, yeah. It's somewhat related. It was something different. It was something we'd be our own thing, be our own company, and that was the direction that we were going there was just, technology right now in Massachusetts is a black hole. There's just nothing happening.
But the job happened, even though if it was in San Francisco, and we give you our big congratulations. Thanks very much for joining us, James Moody.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Darren's calling. Welcome, Darren. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling from the Boston area.
All right.
It's an interesting area, certainly for the job market. But one of the reasons why I called is at the beginning of the program, a statistic was given, I think, that was misleading, that only 3% of college graduates are unemployed.
Yes, Greg Ipp gave that in our interview with the Wall Street Journal correspondent.
That's right. And, well, I don't take issue with that. I do think that it's misleading because, in my own experience, I went to a very good college. Mm-hmm. I went to graduate school. I'm a graphic design, and I went to school for graphic design.
All right.
And I was out of work for almost a year. And I, in that time, I was doing paintings for people who thought I was doing a very good job, but I still couldn't find a job in the graphic design business.
And now, Darren?
And now I am working, but I'm making $25,000 a year, actually $26,000 a year, and my student loans are enough to just, and never mind the rent in the Boston area, the two are just killing me. So I just think there's more to the story than just saying, hey, if you have a college degree, you have a much better chance.
Because you've got a job, but it's not what you had, it's not what you expected, and it doesn't really pay the freight.
No, it's all I do is it's an administrative coordinator. I just fill out contracts all day, basically.
Darren, we've got the picture. Thanks for the call. Ed Krugman, here again is the story of a man who said, I'm going to have to take less. I've got to have a job. I've got to feed myself.
Yes, I mean, I had to do that. It is out of IT. Hopefully I'll be able to get back into IT. But again, it pays some of the bills, as I said, and I just hope something else turns up. I don't want to be in a position of depleting my entire savings and have to be in the same situation of putting the house up for sale. I mean, I may have to do that eventually anyway because the money I make with my current position doesn't pay all the bills, so there will have to be a depletion of the savings account.
Ed, when you're on the floor at Macy's selling men's clothing, mm-hmm. and the customers come in, and presumably many of them still have jobs. They're walking in the shoes you were walking in a year and a half ago.
Right.
How does it feel to be on the other side of that line? You know, now you're the hourly worker. Now you're helping them try the coat on. Describe that for us.
Well, if I had that thought, I wouldn't be able to go in every day. But I look at this as hopefully a stepping stone. In a sense, it is networking again, and I mm-hmm. am trying to make some more contacts in doing that. So I'm trying to put a positive spin on anything I do, and that gets me through.
I guess.
But I agree when I see somebody that's working, I say, you could be in the same position that I'm in.
And hopefully one day, not too long from now, you'll be in the position they're in.
I certainly hope so.
Mary Beth is calling from Buffalo. Hi, Mary Beth. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a couple of things that I wanted to ask about. I agree with that last caller, Darren,
mm-hmm.
Who said that what the economist from the Wall Street Journal was talking about
mm-hmm.
Doesn't reflect what I see in the world at all.
What respect, Mary Beth?
I've never known more people out of work than right now, white-collar type workers, professional college graduates. And you never hear that in the news. And I know a lot of people have been out of work for a long time. My sister's husband was in the publishing industry.
Mm-hmm.
He's been out of work for about 10 months, and my sister's job is threatened. She's also in the publishing industry. A very good friend of mine just was laid off about a month ago. He's a marketing executive.
How about your own position, Mary Beth?
Well, I'm in the medical field, and we relocated here to Buffalo because my husband had a business that failed,
mm-hmm.
and he was able to find a good position here in Buffalo, but it took me about a year to find a job.
So how does it make you feel as a working person when so many friends and family around you are out of work? Does it change your relationship with your job even though you still got one?
Yes, it does.
In what way?
I really feel appreciative that even though it's not like the greatest job in the world, it's, that I was able to find one, and it's okay pay, It's not, not the kind of job you get rich on, but it's fine, And no matter where we've lived, I've been able to pretty much find work because it's a medical field.
Yeah, good luck to you with that, Mary Beth. But you don't see that that sun coming up on the other side that we hear in the statistics shared with us. I want to try and get some more calls in. Tony's on the line. Welcome, Tony. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, good evening, Tom. I've been laid off for about 18 months now, and one of the key points I want to bring in here is the fact that I, like many people on the panel here, and I know both Brian and Vivian, we're all out of benefit. And
your benefits have run out.
They've run out,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when your benefits run out
is... You mean
is,
health insurance, Tony, that kind of thing?
Fortunately, my wife works. She has health insurance. Otherwise, I would not have health insurance.
Right.
I would have no income, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the key point is that in that situation, so far as Washington and the state are concerned, is you're now off the radar. You're not actually part of the statistics that are being quoted anymore.
Because you disappear into the black hole, you're not getting benefits, therefore you're not counted
exactly.
as among the unemployed.
Exactly, okay? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, my situation, you know, like a little bit like, I think, Ed mm-hmm. Krugman there.
Yes.
I'm a little younger than him. I'm a sprightly 57 years old.
Sprightly
57,
good for
okay?
you, yes.
And, you know, I spent a lot of time going through the job search process. It produced nothing. I've downsized on my property. We actually moved home about a year ago.
Like to a home place, to a family place?
Well, no.
Oh, you changed homes. I see. You just moved.
I changed homes, mm-hmm. okay? I moved to a cheaper property, a mm-hmm. town where the taxes were lower.
Mm-hmm.
But now I find myself using up my credit line rather more rapidly than I would wish. I've taken a survival job right now with the United States Postal Service.
Mm-hmm.
I finished work this evening at about 5:30 after...
In the blizzard.
In the blizzard, which was very interesting and very challenging. And I'd start tomorrow morning at 5:30 because the roads are going to be slick.
Tony, you paint a vivid picture for us. Our time is running down, but I thank you for your call. And we can see the situation you're in. Brian Casey, when... In these months, you've been looking for work. You also turned to help other folks, not just through networking, but people who were really down and out. Why'd you do that, and what was the impact?
You would ask one of the other callers if he's found this a learning experience mm-hmm. or a character-building experience, and it really is. 3 days after I was laid off, I signed up to work at a homeless shelter locally and go in on occasion and feed meals to homeless women.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dealing with people who have nothing. And you might feel sorry for yourself because you're out of work. You might feel sorry for yourself because you've almost got that job so many times, then to find that the opening was canceled, the person was laid off, the company had a layoff, which is my situation. I've mm-hmm. almost got the job so many times.
So close.
But when you see people that really have nothing, and then you can go home to your house that's heated, the refrigerator's full, your children are healthy, you really appreciate what you have. And it really helps keep you philosophical and keeps you balanced because you realize things aren't that bad. This will pass.
You've got to keep perspective on it.
I love my career. I love technology. I love going to work in the morning. And I know that's going to happen before too terribly long. And in the meantime, I'm so much better off than a lot of these other people.
And Vivian, your view as you look ahead, you've got a new year coming up, more chances to find that job. How are your spirits?
My spirits are up. I'm looking forward to starting my new company. And I think in time, things will turn around and I'll be back in high tech.
And Ed Krugman, there in New Jersey, you're doing what it takes to keep the lights on. When do you think you'll get back into the field that you want to work in?
I wish I knew, but I am turning an optimistic spin on it. As I said before, I think I am making more networking contacts. I have one of my networking contacts has indicated he's trying to form a new department in his company. If the new department is approved and he can hire from the outside, I'm a prime candidate. And those are a lot of ifs, but when I hear something like that, that is positive.
A lot of ifs, but hope springs eternal. Our time is up.
Absolutely.
But Ed Krugman, Brian Casey, Vivian Pudsadiadlo, thanks to each and every one of you, and good luck to you. You are not alone out there. We all know that, and I hope this is... I hope this extends that networked feeling you're talking about to others in your shoes tonight. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
You can continue this forum online at On Point Radio. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Cassettes and CDs of On Point are available for $15. Go to onpointradio.org or call 1-800-909-9287.
This is WBU.